Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. If you want to follow along on TV, and we're brought to you by EMP 1-8 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in D.C. area. It's EMP1-8weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville,
yep,
Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop.
Yeah.
That is the foursome. Our pal Steve Buckhand's going to join us at 9 o'clock, voice of the Wizards. We'll talk about Game 3 against the Raptors, but joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, I can't pronounce his last name.
Gilligan.
You've done it.
It's in my head.
Bob, it's humiliating. He's butchered your name like five times this morning.
Only twice. I actually avoided it
beyond that. If he said it five times, at least he's consistent, right?
Yes, he is consistent. Haven't been consistent, but it's in my head. Voice of the Blue Jackets.
Bob, I'm wearing my Caps jersey. I'm rocking the red, buddy. This is a big one. Big one tonight.
It is a big one. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the Caps won a big one, quite honestly, here a couple nights ago. It was a must-win then. I think both teams are looking at a must-win here because either goes back to 2-2 coming to Washington or the Blue Jackets put a stranglehold on it and have a chance to finish it off. So, both teams are in the same boat today, I think.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm looking at a headline from the Chicago Sun-Times from yesterday. Artemi Panarin's postseason brilliance twisting the knife for the Blackhawks. I mean, what a caper the Blue Jackets pulled on the Blackhawks to get this talent on their team.
They got a superstar.
He's been the best player on the ice by far in this series. Talk about how Columbus approached getting him, how they were able to make that trade work. And this is a guy who's going to be a thorn in the side of every Metro Division team for the next decade with the way he's playing.
You know, when Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager for the Blue Jackets, talked about the trade after it happened, He described it like this. He said, we're always sitting around and looking at different teams and different possibilities. And he said one day just kind of said, man, I wonder if Chicago would ever think of moving Artemi Panarin. And then, of course, the Blue Jackets had already acquired Brandon Saad a couple of years previous from Chicago. And then Stan Bowman called one day and he said, I wonder if you would be interested in moving Brandon Saad again. Because they wanted him back. So it was, he made it sound like it was kind of a wishful thinking, pie in the sky thing that all of a sudden came true out of nowhere. So, as a hockey fan from the outside, do you look at that trade and say, how in the world could the Chicago Blackhawks ever do that? Do you guys look at it that way?
I mean, from the way
we didn't know much about him until this year, but he is special.
From the way Panera's been playing, it definitely makes you think that. And I know that Chicago was disappointing last year in their loss in the playoffs to the Predators, but I mean, why would you give up a special talent like Panarin? I guess, like you said, they wanted Saad back on the team, and I guess they thought Panarin was worth the price.
Well, it comes down for them too. It's also with salary cap, right? Because Panarin has just 2 years left on his deal this year and next year, and then they would have to sign him. They're kind of in a cap crunch where they are right now. And I really think the story has always been that Jonathan Toews really wanted Brandon Saad back on his line. So they gave up Panarin, who Patrick Kane loved because they worked out great together. They gave him up to get Saad back for Toews. But, there were two storylines really coming out of the trade in the summer. Number one was, how is a player that's so offensively talented like this going to mesh with John Tortorella as the head coach? And number two was, can Artemi Panarin flourish without Patrick Kane, or does he just work with Patrick Kane? Both of those questions have easily been answered. He's one of John Tortorella's favorite players on this team, not because of what he does offensively, but if you watch him play every shift, he is relentless defensively. He steals pucks from guys. It's amazing how he goes into the corner, ducks underneath a guy, comes out with the puck. When he has the puck, it is extremely hard to get it away from him. And as Torts always says, he weighs about a buck 70, and yet he's outplaying a lot of bigger guys than him. And then the offense, that speaks for itself and what he does there. And did he need Patrick Kane? No. He had 82 points in the regular season. He sets a Blue Jackets record for points in a season. And in this playoffs, when I watch him play, guys, especially in that last game, every time he came over the boards, he wants to be a superstar. He is really embracing being on this big stage, and I think you can see it in the way he plays.
Bob, I can't tell you how many times we argued on this show and with the callers on who Barry Trotz should start to, you know, in this series in goal. Because Grubby was so hot, you know, in the regular season, and Holtby wasn't. And then, you know, it was my opinion that they should go with Holtby just because of the playoff experience. Anyway, so Grubby didn't work out for those first two games. Holtby played much better in Game 3. Just curious, from your vantage point, what did you notice about the two goalies? And do you think that that Trotz made the wrong call starting Grubby in the first two?
Well, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, probably. But then again, you know, it's a tough call as a coach, because if you have one guy that's clearly outplaying the other guy, then the right thing to do, I think the message you need to send to your team, if you're going to be a coach that says the best players are going to play, and if Grubauer is the best player over Holtby at that time, then, yeah, I think you have to play him. However, again, hindsight, I thought that there were at least a couple of shots the other night. There were at least two, maybe three, that had Grubauer been in goal, the Blue Jackets would have scored on, and they didn't score because Holtby was in there. And one of them was in the first period. It was Cam Atkinson. He was coming right down the slot between the circles. And Holtby just got the glove up enough. He didn't catch it, but he tipped it, and he set it up over the glass and out of play. And that was one where I was like, oh,
yeah,
it would have been the other guy. I think that one goes in. So, hey, you know what? To his credit, it went five periods. He made the change, lost that, you know, in overtime in game two. But now, I thought Holtby was a difference maker in game three, quite frankly, because, you know, there were other instances. Boone Jenner had a couple of great chances right on the doorstep, and he made a fantastic skate save with his left skate. And that was, I think that was late in the third period. So he was a difference maker. He made a factor. So it doesn't matter who you started, quite frankly. I mean, it's a 2-1 series. You're in the series. It's about, if you thought it was a mistake, you fixed the mistake, and that's what he did.
Bob, were Jackets fans apprehensive about Bobrovsky's playoff record before this series with the Capitals started? He was a 3-10 goaltender. I mean, it's a two-time Vezina winner who in the playoffs, for whatever reason, has just had a lot of issues, hasn't performed well in the playoffs. He's been pretty good so far in this series. What has the outlook been on Bobrovsky and how he's played so far against the Caps?
Yeah, I think he's been better than pretty good in this series, and especially if you talk about his playoff failures in the past, you know, I've seen them. So when you watch him play like he played on Sunday in that third period when the Caps outshot the Blue Jackets 21-5 and he was all over the place, he's been terrific. Yeah, everybody was apprehensive because in the last two playoff series, both against Pittsburgh, he did not play well. I mean, last year he won the Vezina Trophy. He was the best in the league, and he got into the playoffs against the Penguins, and they made him look like a peewee goalie, quite frankly. They started to operate from behind the net. He couldn't pick up the guy behind the net. He had no idea what was going on. He just looked completely out of sorts. Now, in fairness to him, and you guys can attest to this, the Penguins did the same thing to Braden Holtby when they got him next, and they did the same thing to Pecorine when they got him in the finals. So he was not alone last year, but that just built on his past struggles of performing in the postseason. So, yes, there was a lot of apprehension. Yes, he's the guy that they lean on all season long. They knew they needed that guy to show up in the playoffs, and so far, without question, that guy has shown up. I think it's, you know, it's the two Russian guys here. It's Panarin and Bobrovsky that have put the Blue Jackets into the position that they're in right now.
Bob, going into the series, what was the perception of the Capitals, you know, from your perspective, maybe from the team's perspective, the Midwest perspective? Because we're kind of cynical fans here, and I know in years past, teams have thought, yeah, the Caps, you know, they're a good team. They're flashy, but, you know,
they can't get it done.
You tie it up, they'll buckle under the pressure. They'll lose in the seventh game or whatever. Did you guys have that same perception?
Yeah, I think that's that's a normal hockey perception, to be honest with you. But
right.
In the same vein, though, you also know that they did win the division. I'll be honest with you. I thought after the changes that they had to make after last year, I didn't expect them to win the division.
Right.
But they did. They found a way, and they got there, and they won it, and they did it very well. They still have Alex Ovechkin, who's a superstar in this league, and I know, you know, he had the big game on Sunday with the two goals, but he's always there. He can always break it open. You know, TJ Oshie has been a problem for Sergei Bobrovsky throughout his career, and Nick Backstrom. I mean, there's plenty of good, very talented players. And, you know, here it is, to be honest with you, they wanted to play. The fans wanted somebody other than the Pittsburgh Penguins, because in the last two playoff series, it's been kicked out by the Penguins. And this year against the Penguins in the four games, three of them went to overtime, and Pittsburgh won them all. And the last one was with just two games left in the season. So there was a very big sentiment here, play somebody other than Pittsburgh. To which I said, okay, but remember, you're asking for the first-place team, not the second-place team. Here they just felt more comfortable playing against Washington. But that's just because of the Pittsburgh factor. Everybody here realizes that Washington is still very talented. Nobody thinks that this is going to be an easy series. And I can tell from the fans, when that thing was tied and going into the first overtime, you know, you get some fan bases that have been there and have gone through it a lot, and there's a lot of confidence. I can feel this one being a little bit nervous because, to be honest with you guys, this is only the fourth trip ever to the playoffs for this franchise, and it's the first time they've gone in back-to-back years. There's still a lot of nervousness and a lot of angst amongst the fans when it comes to this.
Joined by Bob McKilligat, play-by-play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, another young, awesome player on your guys' roster is overshadowed by Artemi Panarin is Pierre-Luc Dubois, 19 years old. You know, he's a little bit of an instigator with a lot of offensive skill. Talk about what this guy has brought to that team. He's another guy that the Caps have to deal with on a nightly basis.
This guy was drafted third overall a couple of summers ago. A lot of people thought that the Blue Jackets, he wasn't ranked in the top three. Jesse Puljujärvi, who was taken by the Oilers at number four, was supposed to be the guy behind Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine. And all of a sudden, the Blue Jackets went off the page and they took Pierre-Luc Dubois. And they took a lot of criticism for that, quite frankly. And last year, he came to training camp and he wasn't ready to go, and they sent him back to junior. And this year, he came back to training camp just a completely different guy. They started him on the wing, on the fourth line and on the wing at the beginning of the year. And it got to be November, and John Tortorella felt he wasn't moving his feet well enough, and there were some injuries, so he put him in the middle at center. And he was, quite honestly, he was the only guy at that time that found any kind of chemistry playing with Artemi Panarin. So all of a sudden, he finds himself on the top line at 19 years old and stayed there pretty much throughout the entire year. He scored 20 goals here. That's a record for goals. He broke Rick Nash's record for goals as a rookie. And he's been terrific. And yes, he does have that mean side to him. He plays a little bit dirty, and that has really started to come out in the last month. That was his label in junior, that he could play dirty like that. Not that he's trying to cheap shot you, but he knows exactly how to get that last little bump in after the whistle, just the way to get under your skin and draw your attention. And in the last month of the regular season, we saw that a lot. And it was the Pittsburgh game in game number, or whatever it was, 81. And he and Patrick Hornquist were going at it throughout the course of the game. And afterwards, a reporter asked him, what was going on with Hornquist? And he said, I don't know. You know, we're just around the net. And I said, come on, do you think this innocence routine is still going to work after 81 games? And he said, he goes, listen, I'm not going looking for it, but it's just the way I play. If it comes, it comes. And you guys have seen it now over the course of three games. He wants to be a factor, this kid, and he's been pretty impressive.
All right, Bob, what's the key tonight in your opinion?
Well, you know, I really think for the Blue Jackets, they've got to come out of this game with a win tonight. Just because this team is a team that operates on confidence. This is a very feel-good team. Throughout the year, they didn't have that confidence. They couldn't win three in a row for the longest time. And when they finally did, I had said back at the time, I said, if this team wins three in a row, I can see them winning four, five, six in a row. Well, they won 10 in a row, and that's what got them into a position for the playoffs. So if they lose this game and have to go to Washington 2-2, I'm a little bit worried about their psyche as a team because they are still very young. So I think for them, I think it's going to be score early. I think they have to feel good about themselves early in this game. They're going to have to get the Braden Holtby. They're going to have to get a lot of traffic in front of him and find a way to open this game up and not just have it be a one-goal game. And they've got to stay out of the penalty box. We've said this every single game, and they keep going to the box. And, you know, Washington gets that 5-on-3 power play goal the other night, which turns out to be a key goal. So if the Blue Jackets don't stay out of the box and if they don't capitalize on some of their chances early in this game, it might be a long night for them, even though they're the home team.
Bob, thanks for the time. We do appreciate it. Give him a follow on Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. It's Bob McGillicutt. That's the best I can do with this.
McGillicutt.
It's in my head, too.
Oh, that's good job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it's just got a hard last name.
But it is humiliating. JP, you can't introduce the guy
and say
his name.
And just say Bob.
Twice. I only said it.
I know, but Cakes is kind of
well, hold on.
It got into my head because everybody said something different.
I know, but I think you introduced him as Bob. I don't even think you gave the last name.
No, McGillicutt. No, he never did.
No.
JP never did.
I boxed it. I said McGillicutt.
On the teaser, he did, but when Bob was on the phone, he just goes,
McGillicutt.
It's Bob.
Is it McGillicutt?
McGillicutt.
It's hard. It's hard.
You know,
it's a hard name.
It's a hard name. It really isn't.
Listen, I know we're not professional, but when you know days in advance that a guy's going to be on, we got to learn the name. I'm throwing myself in there. I'm not saying
sure.
We got to learn the name. It's so insulting to have a guest on. It's not like
he's
an obscure author.
Well,
he's a playboy. He's on the air.
I understand.
Here's the playboy voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
He knows
Bob.
He knows he has a last name. His Twitter handle is
Bobby Mac.
Bobby Mac Sports.
Right, what happened one minute before that segment started?
Because I said it fine, but in my head.
Let's also be honest.
You know what it was like? It's like when somebody goes up to the first tee and everybody's giving them 100 swings. I literally have it written down one way.
But I would
and
say
then
this.
He says it one way, Drabs is another way. It was just in my head.
I'm not that different from JP. JP and I grew up across the street. We're very similar in a million ways. JP's a mush mouth. Okay? So with some names, he just botches.
Book like.
So
is that
mush mouth? He probably shouldn't be doing
mush like. Hundreds of times on the show and botched it once.
I know.
That's the only one I remember.
Cakes, by the way, kind of botched the name. Jason gave me a look.
A little bit.
I might have botched it, but it's a hard name to pronounce.
It's humiliating.
It's sad.
Humiliating. Bob.
At least I made an attempt to ID the guy.
Yeah.
I tried to ID him while he was on the air.
I told Drab.
But I took a shot.
This is our fault because we should have spelled it phonetically on the sheet.
It is. JP.
No. Oh, it is?
JP and has it written in front of him because I went in there and we said, are you sure you know how to say it? And we wrote it out. Bob McGillicutt. Is that how you say it?
See, that's not right either.
I'm just trying my best. Listen, it doesn't matter to me because I never ID guys. I just say, hey, Bob.
That's right. That's what he said.
So I punt.
Hey, Bob, what do you think about game four?
Yeah, but you can't intro the guy as, we have Bob on.
We have Bob.
You want to hear another JP-ism?
JP intro the guy as Bob.
That was the movie. What about Bob?
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Coming up later on the show, we have Mike the Mouth Matuso.
How am I supposed to know who he is?
don't intro him.
Well, then you do it.
Any poker player I can do.
Hey, do you have the intro with Bob?
As soon as we go to break, I'll have
that's
it.
The funniest thing.
That's
I didn't
so
even.
Funny.
I just.
Hey, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Bob McGillicutt.
McGillicutt. No, it's McGillicutt, not Gott. It's McGillicutt.
Bob. McGillicutt.
All right, when we come back,
do you know that real broadcast? Like Pete Medhurst right now wants to blow his brain
out. I love Pete, and he's a great announcer. He'd struggle with that name too. I think he would.
He might.
It's not an easy name.
But Pete would have worked on it and known it in advance.
You're probably right.
But I'm telling you, a guy like Pete
on your entertainment page
secretly, Pete loathes us.
No, he doesn't.
Like you can't believe. Okay, he wants to pull. If he had his druthers, he'd put a bullet in all four of our heads.
Please.
There are a lot of old school broadcasters like Pete that are horrified by our success.
But we just turned it into a positive. We turned it into a positive.
I know
bit.
That. Once but hear, real broadcasters, man,
once you
they
hear
hate
the
us.
Name pronounced, it's easy to say it.
So you say it correctly.
It's McGillicutt.
Bob McGillicutt.
Like delegate, but with a
Bob McGillicutt.
Yeah.
McGillicutt.
It's not McGillicutt or McGillicutt.
Listen, you're better at pronouncing words than JP is than I am. You're better at it. It's one of your strengths.
I just think it's funny that he said, let's welcome in Bob.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I said Bob McGillicutt, and I butchered it.
I thought we butchered it because that's what I went like
this. Thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
Gets Brian comfortable on the air.
How you doing, Bob? All right, we'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I think the total time spent on Bob McElligott's name.
Yes.
You still can't say it.
McElligott.
I said it like that on purpose.
Bob McElligott.
Hold on. So we have audio. Can we?
I know. I think he said the last name.
I don't think he said just Bob.
I think the total time spent on McElligott's name is going to be longer than the actual interview.
You're probably right.
But we're going to get Pete's commentary in a moment. But here's how I butchered the intro to the play-by-play voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, whose name is... And it was in my head, Bob McElligott, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop.
Yeah.
That is the foursome. Our pal Steve Buckhand is going to join us at 9 o'clock, voice of the Wizards. We'll talk about Game 3 against the Raptors, but joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, I can't pronounce his last name.
So you started it, and then you bailed.
Bob.
That's what it was. He didn't just say, here's Bob.
Well, there's more to it.
Huh? What are you saying?
There's more to it.
All right.
Ed.
Bob, it's humiliating. He's butchered your name like five times this morning.
Only twice. I actually avoided it beyond that.
If he said it five times, at least he's consistent, right?
Yes, I actually haven't been consistent, but it's in my head. Bob, the voice of the Blue Jackets.
Bob, I'm wearing my
Oh, so that's what he said, Bob.
the voice of the Blue Jackets.
Definitely bailed. He just bailed.
Bob.
The first time he attempted, stopped mid-sentence.
All right, but hold on. Listen to JP how he teased him the segment before.
Oh, that's what he completely butchered it.
We will talk more about the Blue Jackets-Caps matchup game four with the play-by-play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Bob McElligott.
he just roasted it. I mean, that wasn't even close.
I mean, honestly.
You pronounced it the exact same way.
Listen.
Yeah, and then
I know what I'm good at. I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to do
it. And then this is Bob pronouncing his own name.
I'm Bob McElligott, and today I'm joined by
the new one.
Well, you guys can help us
well,
out.
The producer,
you know, Jimmy,
are you insane? I came in there a hundred times and said it's pronounced McElligott. And then JP mocked me for coming in there one last time.
Because I actually had it. And then I'm telling you, you got me like I'm on the first tee thinking about 100 thoughts. I joked.
Yeah. Pete, when you heard that, were you cringing?
No, you have me confused. EB, I don't loathe you guys. It's like older crusty dudes, older than me.
Yeah, but I feel like
used to write about you all and how they loathed you, and now you make significantly more cash than they do.
That's true, but I know that it's very true. But I know that you're like a real broadcaster, and you also express your frustration. You know, let's pull back the curtain here a little bit. He expresses frustration that he's not appreciated enough. I think he's an amazing broadcaster.
And by the way,
and
he has to deal with
hacks like
I try and get him involved in the show whenever I can.
He has to deal with Ken's name. That's another name that's
Niamatololo.
That one's
easy.
That one is like everyone
knows. Just call him Coach Ken. That's what Steve Spurrier did. We played South Carolina. He just punted. He went, Coach Ken.
Yeah.
We played Coach Ken this week in that offense. Do you know who Bob McElligott is? Had you heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know a lot of
you knew how to pronounce it?
It's not that hard.
It really isn't. After you hear it the first time,
it's like
right.
Bob McElligott, except with a G.
I agree.
When you're doing it, in
JP's defense, I can tell you that when you're doing a game, there are some times where you get a name that just freezes you, no matter how many times you say it over and over again, no matter how many times
Brooks
you go.
Like.
Like in my case, no matter how many times I go to the PR person and go over the pronunciation guide with them, there are names that just continue to trip you up.
Pete, give us one. Does one jump out?
Do you know the official pronunciation? Really. When you did the Big Ten, the Maryland Albany game, okay? Nanatoke or whatever.
Yes.
How do you pronounce his name correctly?
Dagota.
See, that's
his first name is Dagota,
and it looks nothing like that. You spell it like Nanatoke.
His last name is Nanatoke.
Or what's the first name
that doesn't look like. I can't remember it off the top of my head now, but it's Dagota because when we talked with their head coach during the course of the week, he reminded us that, hey, it's not what it looks like.
Yeah,
it's Dagota.
Right.
Hey, look, I give myself an F for him But Cakes was at about D level, too.
Hey, at least I took a shot.
Look,
yeah, at least I attempted.
Yeah, but I wouldn't take a shot.
By the way,
that's the safe way. Don't take a shot.
We pull back the curtain on
take
IDing
a shot,
people.
Cake shot.
Nobody cares. ID them at the beginning. ID them at the end. There's no need to ID somebody in the middle of the interview.
Sometimes it's part of the reset, Cakes. It's part of the reset.
It's old school. We've never really done it.
How many times
it,
you produce
yourself? Drabby's always telling us in the air, reset.
I know. It's like an old school like thing or like, you know, like
right, when people get in the car.
Listener, like old radio people think you need to do it.
As a listener, there have been times when I've jumped in the car and I've heard a voice. I'm like, I know that voice, and you do want that.
Well, you know what? You wait until the end of the interview, and then you find out.
Look at all the years that we have the discussion about how to pronounce Louis Oosthuizen's name. And all the different ways that we pronounce that name.
It's really Oosthuizen.
You want to hear Cakes's?
Oosthuizen.
Right. I don't care.
Did you know? That really bothers me because
Wusthuizen
is so nice. He just let everybody butcher it.
And so now they think
that's what it is.
Yeah.
By Bob McKelligat, play-by-play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Close.
Do it again. Joined by Bob McKelligat, play. It's not great.
It's better than
JP.
I thought you were going to say McGilligan.
He has the dry mouth thing going on. No, it's like. It sounds like McGillicuddy. So when you start McGilligan, you want to go say McGillicuddy?
We are giving
for whatever reason.
McGilligan
a lot of run now.
Years ago, I'll never forget. You know how they always run out these news people to these sporting events when it's a big event and something like that? You'll see the news people, like if the Caps do advance like that. Years and years ago, I'll never forget a news person pronounced this Capitals player's name, Gatien Duchesny.
Oh.
Anybody remember
Gaetan Duchesne?
Yeah. Oh, you hear botches like that all the time. Like Joel Embiid's on TV right now, and if somebody would look at it, they may call him Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I've seen that. But sometimes, you know what?
First rule of thumb as a broadcaster: go to the PR person, go over the pronunciations with them, and you can tell when someone's been lazy and hasn't done that because they just completely butcher and shatter it.
That's different.
JP doesn't have access to the.
Well, no, he
PR
did have
person,
Drabby. Drabby tried it, but I'm not convinced.
He gave me the correct one.
Did
and
you
I
say
actually
it perfectly?
Said it correctly.
Flawless.
And then I said it correctly.
Because I'll tell you this. This has happened 100 times.
But then Jason said it a bunch of times to me, and I said it correctly, and then I choked.
We've had guests before where none of us know the pronunciation, and Drabby will guess and give us the wrong one.
Correct.
It's happened multiple times.
That's before they come on. But the first thing I did here this morning is I went to YouTube, and I listened to him say his own name 100 times.
Right. It's a great tool.
That's like the PR department.
Instead of your big lips saying it.
Today I'm joined by the newest.
You should have played that audio for JP. Because you're kind of a mushy mouth, too.
He's hard-headed and dumb.
What's the word? He didn't even know how to say
JP doesn't even have YouTube on his iPhone 1.
He can't say Mitsubishi. He has a hard time with it.
Mitsubishi.
See, he can't even say, I mean, so you're a mushy mouth, too. You're not the person to tell us how to say a name.
You want to hear everyone pronouncing it throughout the day?
Yeah, sure.
Bob McKelligat. Joined by Bob McKelligat.
Bob McKelligat.
Never lose that tape. We're going to play that for the next 15 years.
I know my place.
It was L, it was ill, it was got, it was get.
McKelligat. Now I have it. McKelligat.
McKelligat.
McKelligat. Joined by Bob McKelligat.
Bob McKelligat.
By the way, that's another word that whenever JP says the word get, he always says get. Yeah. He's been saying it for years.
He can't change his
hillbilly.
He doesn't pronounce get correctly.
He says get.
You sound like a hillbilly when he says that.
Yeah.
We misuse vowels in English language all the time.
Like what else?
I's, O's, U's.
Yeah, I still don't know. Like, JP and I are going to the game, or is it me and JP are going to the game?
Some of those things I get confused.
Every time I say something like JP and I, somebody says it should be JP and me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if it's I don't want to talk about prepositions, but you say join me and.
Join Eric. JP and I. You do that?
No, you would say join me.
It would be join. Yeah,
join
JP.
Me and JP at Chasing Tails.
Right.
What are you going? You going to Chasing Tails tonight?
But if you said
watch party.
But then if you said that you were hanging at Chasing Tails, you would say JP and I.
Yes.
JP and I were chilling at Chasing Tails.
What you do is you remove the JP and then you create the sentence.
I know. It's too much thought. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't think about it. If I sound dumb by saying me and somebody are going somewhere, I don't care.
Yeah, so be it.
I couldn't care less.
But you know what tilts me? When people misspell. Like there, they do the wrong there. Like
or your,
yes.
I feel like a big
or
silly.
Because
I will never, mix that.
Yeah.
So that is my silly. And when I see people mix up there, like Adam, I I feel like you're the biggest dummy in the country.
I know, but if you voice text, sometimes it comes across that way. Wrong.
Look, everybody has their
voice
kryptonite.
Text is a nightmare.
Valdez, really 10 minutes ago, when I'm about to do my Bar Louie read, he goes,
where are you going, Pete?
He's got to do his update.
Oh,
yeah, he's got real work to do. Valdez goes, I think you're having a problem saying the word pain. You're saying it pang.
You did say that.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I was originally
I did. I never heard of a hunger pang.
Hunger pang before.
See, you're the biggest hillbilly.
He's trying to outsmart me.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
stop.
You never heard of a hunger pang? No.
But
what
it got
that?
In your head because then you kind of botched the read.
Yeah, I botched the read because of
the foulies. See?
Joined by Bob and Gallagher. Super Monkey Tilt.
Joined by Bob and Gallagher.
By the way, our friend Dave Schwab, who's a super agent in the town, says the reason you've been on here for more than 20 years, it's exactly this segment. Spending more time on his name than the interview itself is a winner.
Right.
So thank you, David Schwab.
I remember the interview now. He was hyping up Panini.
Panarin.
That's another name we can't say.
Panarin.
I hope somebody takes money. Panarin and Panarin. Just smashes him into the boards tonight.
Oh,
100
times.
They got him from the Blackhawks.
If he scores tonight, we're finito.
Well, odds are he's going to score.
Finito Santiago.
He's probably going to score. It's what he does.
Yeah, it's a loser. Down 3-1.
Bob McGilligan.
No reason to watch game 5.
Bob McGilligan.
Joined by Bob McGilligan.
God, I suck.
Well, you sounded parched there. If you really break it down.
I'm always thirsty. I'm always parched. Before, I have 100 drinks.
Hey, before I forget.
He just drinks 100 beers before he goes to sleep. He wakes up completely dehydrated.
I'm going to need 5 beers on tap tonight for this stupid
Caps game. Of course
you will.
Of course you will. But before
every overtime?
Yeah.
Before I forget, because you guys won't let me to do it. You want me the rest of the show. Ready? Yeah. So I have to thank. This is the beauty of the show.
You never have
people.
Time to thank people.
This is the beauty of the show because you know, anytime we have an issue in our personal life, we always complain about it.
Yeah.
And I had talked about how my DirecTV went out last night and I couldn't watch anything. Well, remember Glenn Baker?
Yes.
From AT&T?
Yeah, yeah,
he was listening.
Okay.
He's a silly. Remember I told you need a tech guy?
Yes.
That guy's a
Glenn
genius.
Baker, he's your hero.
Glenn Baker heard us talking about this and he said, hey, I heard you talking about your DirecTV because he works for AT&T who owns DirecTV, right?
That's right.
Yep. He says, I'm going to get my guy Marcus Jackson in our home experts group to come out and fix your DirecTV.
Oh, look at that.
He says, when do you want to do it? Can you want to do it today? I said, I'm going to call you after the show and we're going to arrange it.
You're a big baller.
So now I don't have to wait till Monday because that would have been a nightmare.
What did I tell you?
That would have been a nightmare.
What did I tell you? Do you think big sillies have to wait?
No, you're right.
They treated you like the herd.
All right, good. So thank you to Marcus Jackson and Glenn Baker from AT&T.
Yeah.
He's not part of the herd.
I wouldn't
if you could leverage your situation a little bit,
I
leverage
wish the
it.
Columbus guy's last name was Baker. Would have had this whole issue. Right. His name has to be McGilligan or McGilligan or whatever it is.
Man, that's the best news I've heard in
it's great
months.
News. It's amazing news. Good for you.
All right.
Wait till you get that bill.
Oh, the bill's going to look
that
like
bill
this.
Bill better look like a big fat zero. Like a big fat AWOD.
All right, remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, our pal Steve Buckhant's going to join us. We'll talk about the Wizards playoff series.
But next, we can all say Buck.
Why don't we touch on the Cap series and open it up to callers, because it is Open Line Thursday. Do you think the Caps win tonight? 800-636-1067.
So you know what my new bit is, by the way, real quick? Have you guys been reading about... Jason kind of does this naturally. Like, the new kind of hot fire in dieting is fasting. Like, periodic fasting, intermittent fasting. Like, Jason does it. He doesn't eat after... You know, he eats dinner probably 4 p.m., like cakes. He doesn't really
eat... But I'm not fasting. That's just my... This is my routine.
Yeah, your routine is... So you kind of... It's conscious, though. You don't eat after dinner. And then you don't eat again until...
True. I don't.
So you probably
I try not to eat after about 7 o'clock.
So 7 o'clock, and then you're not eating again until at least 7 a.m.
Right.
You go at least... You do a 12-hour fast every day without even trying.
Yes.
Right. And
you
I know
don't?
For,
do you
lately,
eat? Do you eat after dinner?
Lately, because of all the tension, like watching all these games and stuff, I nervously will just pound anything.
Oh, you will?
Like, I'll be good all day, and then I'll just be up late nervously watching these games. And I would eat a whole pizza. I'll just eat.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm nervous.
My
anxious.
My weakness is a lot of times I'll have straight up a cookie right before bed.
Right.
I'll have a cookie, then I'll brush my teeth.
One cookie? Who can eat one cookie? If you gave me one cookie, I'd have 27.
Sizable cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I get the four-pack from Teeter, the big ones.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're eating a big cookie.
Which ones?
But my favorite is actually the raspberry
Raspberry soap.
It's basically like an oatmeal raisin, but it's raspberry.
Right.
Double stuffed Oreos are ridiculous.
I couldn't eat one. I would have to eat at least probably one whole sleeve.
One whole sleeve.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't stop. I have a sugar, like you are with painkillers. That's how I am with sugar.
Pass the sugar.
Tramadol. Love it.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, so I'm all these people I'm reading online, like they're doing this fasting thing. So I said yesterday, I said I'm gonna do the fast. I'm gonna go and I'm just gonna do 12 hours because that'll be hard for me. 8 p.m. till 8 a.m. I'm freaking starving. Starving.
So you've done over 12 hours.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm soft. I can go a little longer.
I got a money.
So I'm going to try to go a little longer.
I got a halo for you.
Now, by the way, when people do these intermittent fasting, they drink fluids, right? Like I had coffee.
Is that
still considered fasting if you have coffee?
Probably.
Yeah. So I've gone 12 hours, and I could eat the doorknob.
But you're right about watching TV, games, you just kind of want to get up and go to the pantry and find something to eat.
Yeah. All I'm doing is stuffing myself.
This is why you should watch games in your bed.
My TV's dead. You hit the power. Nothing happens.
Well, you got to hook yourself.
You got to get a new
Costco
TV.
Go to Costco today.
Ricky, what are you doing?
I got to get a TV. I might get one today.
Got to get a TV
ASAP. How old is that TV?
But old.
Oh, come on. What are you doing?
You know how I got that TV? Did I tell you
Back in Squeaker's Corner.
Do you remember how I got that TV?
I don't think you would put it this way.
I got that TV.
Crimes may have happened.
I got that TV in a parking lot. Oh, in the back of a truck.
You got
basically.
A great deal.
Oh, I remember that. Something shady was going on.
Something but shady.
He's calling me a squeaker for.
No.
We should send
that was so shady.
You're trying to be a little bit of an undercover squeaker. You were those ulterior
Why?
Motives.
I brought it up.
Was it hot? How hot was it?
I don't know.
Could you even hold it?
You ever burn your finger on a stove?
All I know is that it came from a guy's house that looked like Circuit City.
Right.
Well, did
old reference Circuit City?
Well, didn't
that's how old it was?
That's true.
Didn't JP hose Keith from Colonial Beach with a plasma TV that he was selling for like $200?
Man, whatever happened
to him? No, he came over to my house and bought it.
That dude's got
to
be dead, right?
Why didn't he stop calling?
You always think the people that we haven't heard from in 10 years are just dead.
You think they don't die?
I mean, people die every day.
Mookie, he texts me from time to time.
Derek
from
Logan
Keith.
Circle, dead. Because those guys, when you have listeners, let me just pull back the curtain. When you have listeners that are just devoted to a particular show for years and years and years, they don't just fall off. They've already decided they like you. They're part of the family. When you stop hearing from them, they're probably dead.
Dead or in jail.
Yeah.
Because even if they move out of the state,
they'll check in.
Yeah.
I just sent him a text. I just put you alive. Big Keith.
Well, I didn't know you were texting him.
Well, JP sold a TV that weighed as much as an elephant to Keith from Colonial Beach
for like
$500.
Big ass TV.
Yeah, he hoarded them.
I didn't hoard them at all. Sold it for like $100. It was like a $500 TV.
Those $500 when that TV came out probably was $2,000.
I sold it in 2009.
You know what that TV's worth now? Nobody would take it.
Fuck.
Okay. Literally, you would have to pay someone to haul it away.
But you're grilling me. It was
good because they wouldn't want it.
It was a dumb TV, but that's what existed back then. Dumb
TVs were so hoop.
Well, someone wanted it.
Yeah, Keith wanted it. He got it for his kids to play video games.
He just pulled an okie doke on him.
Isn't that the TV the horsey has?
Horsey has one of those big ass TVs, like 6,000-pound TVs.
It's unbelievably big.
Like literally, it's the size of a grand piano.
Horsey can go out
and it weighs more.
He could get the best TV on the market.
A baby grand or a real grand?
He can have a 100-inch screen
play on it,
and we'll still say he has a bubble TV in his basement.
Right?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's got he's got a hoop.
All right, so I teased Caps predictions. Bish, do the Caps win tonight?
Man, you're backing me into a corner. I don't like this.
Yes or no? They win?
No.
Cakes?
Don't ask me.
Just
don't
say no.
Ever ask me.
You don't really believe they will.
Okay. I'm making a declaration. I'm never picking the Caps ever to win a game ever again on the show.
Well, you pick them
don't
to lose?
Don't ask me.
You'll pick them to lose.
Don't ask me.
What if we're on
don't
the ice?
Ask me.
What
don't
if we're
ask
on the
me.
Ice at intermission? Will you also?
Don't ask me if the Caps are going to win
you,
a game.
Will you emotionally hedge it again?
Pick them to win again.
You
I'm
like the
emotional
hedge.
Hedge.
Will you do one today?
Don't ask me to pick the Caps to win or lose
right,
a game.
So
I'm not
emotionally
in that
hedge
business
it.
Anymore.
Emotionally hedge it. Put $100 because this is win-win.
$100 is a lot of money.
Yeah,
even if you're on the Jumbotron
but it's worth
cakes.
It. What's the win? This is the calculation. Hold on, let me finish the thought. That's the calculation. What's the win worth it to you in happiness?
I don't know.
I did those calculations. For me, it was about $100.
That's why
I put what did I put on it?
You said 111.
$106.70.
Yes, that's the wackadoo.
Hold on, what did I put
bet
on?
Bit.
Where's my bookie? I put 150. It was worth 115 to me for them to win.
Okay.
How much is it worth to you for
I don't
happiness?
Know. I don't know.
Because I will say, I emotionally hedged the skins
He's
a couple
really
times.
He's really strange about this particular topic.
Yes, I am. I know, but that's really fine. Weird. It's my thing.
Because he'll pick against the Wizards 10 times out of 10. He doesn't care.
I emotionally.
But with the Caps, he's weird.
I am weird.
I emotionally True. Hedged the Redskins a couple times, and it actually was amazing.
I was
Because
more...
they lost, and I felt pretty good.
Do you know how happy I was?
I made money.
I Venmo'd Valdez $13 for the anti-DC sports trifecta yesterday. And you know what? It didn't faze me one bit. I was happy to give him the money. Plus, it's digital money. It's online. It's like I don't even have it. $13 gone.
Right.
All right. Sneaking a couple phone calls. Touch the people.
I think I'm gonna pick the Caps just because I don't like betting against, like picking against them. Because then I sit there and I want to be right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll pick the Caps.
But to get back to your point, if I was put in that spot again, asked on the Jumbotron, will the Caps win? To play to the favor of the crowd, because
you have to.
I would pick the Caps to win.
Well, of course.
In that certain
You're
scenario.
You're the only person in the country
but
that wins.
But on this show, I'm never picking them again.
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
Go
Good
ahead,
morning,
buddy.
John. Long-time listener, long-time Caps fan. I think you all are forgetting your Caps playoff history. Fakes, I'm ashamed of you. Who knocks the Caps out of the playoffs every year?
Right.
Pittsburgh.
Right.
Pittsburgh. They're going to win tonight. Holtby's back. They're going to go into the next series with all the momentum in the world. They're going to go up on Pittsburgh 2-0, and then Pittsburgh's going to come back and knock them out again with another soul-crushing defeat.
Right. I know. We've heard that cynical.
I'm a series-by-series guy at this point in my life. I'm certainly not looking forward to
the Penn series. Did he predict the Caps will win the series?
Yeah, because he's got them losing to the Penguins in a soul-crushing way.
All right, I didn't miss that. Sorry.
Yeah. And I don't.
I could see that.
I mean, I could totally see that too, but I still think they're big underdogs to win this series.
And again, if the Caps do that and face off against the Pens, losing to them, to me at this point, is no longer soul crushing. It's normal. It's what I'm used to.
It's still soul crushing to an extent. I mean, your daughter cried.
Of course.
That's going to sting to you.
No, but it doesn't hurt as bad as it used to.
It is the normal.
You don't want to see your daughter suffer. I get it. He may not suffer, but he doesn't want to see his daughter suffer.
Yeah, I don't want to see her crying.
Well, you should prepare her and tell her they're going to lose. I mean, any good parent would tell her.
Trust me. She's been invested in the Caps for like the last 3 years. She's gotten the bulletin. She's seen what has transpired.
Right, but if it was my daughter that was that emotionally invested, like my daughter is with the Nats, I say, listen, honey. They usually choke. Don't get too worked up.
Right.
Okay. Just prepare yourself for, you know, probably losing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I would at least say that. You don't say that?
No, I'm too busy cracking beers and watching what's happening up on the screen. Are you kidding?
All right, you got the Caps playoff game tonight. You have the Wizards in action tomorrow to give us some insights. Steve Buckhantz, voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington, joins us next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.